The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States
heavyweight. Look here,
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness, 60 and 50 pounds.
Who am you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This is episode 297 of the WrestleCast. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, we almost at 300 for the WrestleCast.
Man. Yeah, man. And, what's this? In July, whatever the name of the July pay-per-view is, you know, it's a different name every year. Yeah, that would be episode 300.
Oh, man. That's going to be a real interesting show.
Yeah, man, I have to maybe put my Booker hat back on and see what kind of tricks and surprises I can come up with.
I can see you booking something there.
Yeah, man, I'm thinking. I'm going to put my cap on and start thinking. I got a few months, so I'll figure something out. So, you know, hopefully everybody enjoyed the WrestleMania weekend surprise of Miss Didi Jonet coming back to SmackDown Matters. To help me and Ms. J to the Max review night one of WrestleMania. So much fun to talk to her. And now I get to talk to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese about night two and the Raw after WrestleMania. But before we do that, we got to get to that Mo Meltzer news report.
Yeah, because things happened the weekend. So there's something that a couple of you kept hitting me up with, and I'm like, I already have the information. So let's just get night one out the way. The producers for night one. So for Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, that was produced by Jamie Noble and Jason Jordan.
Oh, Jason Jordan, getting them checks.
Yep.
Too bad his in-ring career can't resume, because he was just about to probably get to the top of his profession. I think they saw a lot in him as far as his singles wrestling.
Yeah. The tag team Turmoil was produced by TJ Wilson, aka Tyson Kidd, and Pat Buck.
Pat Buck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he does more than just wear that pink jacket.
Right. Cesaro and Seth Rollins, that was produced by Shane Helms. It's a hurricane coming through.
Oh, Hurricane Helms. Okay.
AJ Styles and New Day, that was produced by Chris Park.
Oh, Joseph Park?
Yes.
Oh, so that's AJ. So when AJ be cutting them jokes on that, that's like inside baseball between them two.
Yeah. So
that's probably AJ's like guy. That's probably why he wants to be on Raw, because he's over there.
Yeah, he's always like, you know, he'll say something like Park, my lawyer Park, or something like that, or Joseph Park or something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like we know that TNA connection there. Braun and Shane, that was done by Michael Hayes.
OPS, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was all his doing. Bad Bunny, Damian Priest versus Miz and John Morrison, that was done by Adam Pearce. So, Adam Pearce ran that one by himself.
Miz and John Morrison? The Damian Priest match? Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Since he was heavily involved in what was going on with Bad Bunny, that makes sense.
Right. And for Sasha versus Bianca Belair, that was Tyson Kidd, all by himself, solo. Mm-hmm.
Well,
for night two, I'll talk about that when we go over the match.
It's really good to hear that Tyson Kidd is finding his stride as a producer, backstage guy. I guess he's gonna end up taking the Arn Anderson role as like the big match producer guy. Since Arn Anderson is no longer in that role for WWE, just think about, when we started this podcast like 6 years ago, him and Cesaro were the tag team champions, and they were like really, really starting to find their stride. And then unfortunately, the muscle buster almost, ended Tyson Kidd's life, let alone his career. Yeah, I'm glad to see that he's really, starting to excel at putting these matches together and helping these people perform excellent wrestling matches.
Indeed, that's definitely was one that was just like just watching him how they was going back and forth. I think it was. He was doing things in the NXT when that first started and everything. So he definitely, him and Cesaro definitely got their footing on, got their footing together and was definitely, they was definitely, getting it, making it work. But then that unfortunate incident happened and,
Yeah, man. I mean, Samoa Joe's done that move to hundreds of people, and nobody's ever gotten hurt. It's not a dangerous move, but, unfortunately, it was, just not meant to be for Tyson Kidd's wrestling career, I guess, the Styles Clash is more dangerous than the Muscle Buster.
Right.
At that particular time, because legitimately AJ Styles had broken like two people's necks. It's like, the Styles Clash may be the most dangerous move in wrestling. And then all of a sudden you hear like, hey, yo, Tyson Kidd almost died when they had that dark match and Samoa Joe gave him a muscle buster. Like, what? It's like, yeah. It's like, holy shit. But, anything else as far as, how people felt about the matches, what Dave Meltzer say about Bianca and Sasha? Because I know, he was one of those people that was like, I don't know if that's the main event. He was one of those doubters.
I think I saw that he said it was a good match. I really didn't pay too much attention to what he said. I think him and Brian Alvarez gave it a positive look at it, but positive thoughts on it. Right. Yeah, but it wasn't like wasn't nothing like groundbreaking. I know I went at Sam Roberts when I definitely went at him because when he tried to play Bianca on NXT or that one takeover a couple years ago. Mm. So I definitely went, he knew that, like, he can choke on it. It looks like Kelly got married over the weekend. If y'all remember Kelly, she was one of the Divas, she was a former Divas champion. In the mid 2000s, I was actually at the show with the Raw taping in Baltimore when she won her the Divas Championship, sitting like a couple like rows back from ringside. Mm. That's where R-Truth, Christian, and Miz had that really Riley Jimmy promo. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Layla.
She gave an interview with saying how she did retire from in-ring competition in 2015, and she was basically saying how the travel and physical toll was too much. Yeah. She said she needed a break for herself. She said she was with the WWE for 9 years, and during the appearance, she performed during the appearances and backed out and everything. And she was didn't want to be in the public eye, you know. So she hopefully, you know, one day she'll come back and she can do something. She married Ricky Ortiz, who was in the WWE. I think he was on the ECW brand, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was when the ECW brand was started. He was one of the superstars on that brand. I think they really thought they really wanted to do something with him, but just didn't pan out. But
that's unfortunate, man, because a lot of people, that sounds like that's what's happening right now. It's just like they want to do something, but then things aren't panning out.
Like I was at a taping. It was a taping, and they botched the finish. They made them, and it's like they redid the finish, like right, like the ECW shows was live,
right,
and they botched the finish, and they went back and redid the finish and everything, like during the match. And I was like, yeah, he might not be around for long. But Layla was one of my favorites. She won the Diva Search, and they had the whole Extreme Exposé, her, Kelly, and I guess it was a girl named Brooke. I would look it up, but maybe Word, aka Jerome, he might be able to clarify that. But Layla was definitely one of my favorites. I remember when they had never live taping SmackDown. This is back when NXT. So it was NXT season 3 had just started. That was the all female superstar one. That's the one I first saw Naomi, and I was like, "Who is this? Who is this black woman in here dancing, twerking, things like that?" I'm going to keep an eye on her.
Yeah, you were, sir.
Because this is when Loki was in the WWE, and he was their superstar for NXT, and he was definitely getting jobbed out. But he ended up leaving not too long after that.
Mm-hmm.
They did not use him well at all. They just kept getting ragdoll on the main roster every day. So yeah. Let's see. Eric Bischoff said that he admitted about the Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame induction before the Corey Graves interview. So, that happened. Oh, okay. I didn't expect that to happen. I guess I'm gonna definitely have to watch NXT
because you didn't got spoiled.
I looked for something and I just saw a picture of somebody, and I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like Walter's been helping produce matches at NXT.
Walter.
So, that's another thing I meant to admit to the dark match. Him and Tommaso had a banger of a goddamn match.
Yeah, that was a good match, man. Tommaso.
That was a great match. I was definitely invested in that one.
Tommaso found the old Ciampa, man.
Right.
He found the old Ciampa. But when he got hit with that first chop, that very first one, yes. He had been ducking him and dodging him. But when Walter finally hit him with that first one, I was like, oh, that man just got struck by lightning.
I'm sure you get hit by one of them chop. If you have any congestion in your chest, it will be cleared up. It will break down in your body, and it's just going to go away. You'll be like, you be clear, no cough there. Yeah. So Jeff Jarrett is joining the podcast, network of Comrade Thompson. His new podcast is coming in May. I mean, I kind of figured that it was because, you know, they've been doing they was always referencing My Baby Tonight on Bruce Pritchard's show. Right. And so it's good that he's coming to the he's in the Comrade Thompson network of podcasts. So
what you think about the AEW not the AEW, the A&E biography of the WWE legend starts this Sunday, and they're doing Stone Cold first and foremost.
I had mentioned that, you know, when they first was made that deal. I just want to know how's it going to be just be presented.
It's kind of gonna be like all. I mean, if you ever watch the A&E biography, it's probably gonna be like that. They're gonna probably go through the highlights of the WWE stuff. I mean, they may touch on a little bit of the, they may touch on a little bit of the Texas stuff and WCW stuff, but for the most part, you know. It's going to be about the WWE run and becoming the biggest superstar in the world, and taking wrestling to places that it ain't ever been before.
Definitely want to send condolences to Matt and Jeff Hardy. Their father passed away over the weekend.
Yeah, very instrumental in their career, built them the, you know, backyard wrestling ring, basically the, you know, blueprint that the Young Bucks tried to copy.
Yeah.
Except for the Hardy Boys and their dad.
Matt was basically, I think the WWE had sent their condolences out on Twitter to both of them, and Matt was saying, you know, he appreciated that from them. Like Shotzi Blackheart's lost her father as well.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. That's that's gonna be a rough one for her, because we already know how she felt about her dad. So yeah, big time condolences to Shotzi.
Oh, so you mentioned Pat McAfee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pat McAfee commented on the Bad Bunny match. He said he appreciated love from everybody. A lot of folks saying that I'm the greatest non-wrestler ever. Some students saying I'm not. I'm pumped to be in the conversation. He said, let me put my wrestling hat on real quick. That made me think to fall in love with the wrestling was, hold up. He said, made me think, he said was the larger than life personas talking about endorse the coolest things imaginable. The suspension of disbelief came from watching folks commit their entire being to what they were doing. The walking, the talking, the rest of the joy, the pain, the drama, if sold properly. And then he was saying it's not impossible to buy in and believe everything was going on with the coolest one on earth. And a whole bunch of other things. He said Bad Bunny killed it, and I absolutely enjoyed the hell out of it. So there you go.
Awesome. Pat McAfee showing the props.
He said the thing about what I did and what Bad Bunny did, we committed to the entertainment. We appreciate and respect the business and ourselves so much that we didn't want to be remembered as someone who came in out from the outside and botched the opportunity. See? That's all they're saying. They weren't, you know, seasoned professional wrestlers, but they took the opportunity to learn and say, hey, we know we're outsiders, but we want to take this serious. So, you know, and that's what it is. It's basically they take it serious and basically saying, you know, hey, this is what we're doing.
Right.
Hold up. He said, I wonder if Bad Bunny's Destroyer is better than Adam Cole's Destroyer. I assume that because Adam Cole's an absolute bum. But nevertheless, he is these days anyway. go wrestling. And a jab at Adam Cole. Oh, man. I said, yeah, I know you need to do a jab at Adam Cole and destroy it. So that's about it for me.
All right, so now it's time for us to talk about Night Dose of WrestleMania. Thank you to everybody who used the hashtag ManiaCast over the weekend and shared their commentary with color. It was so much fun and entertaining to read all of those tweets and interact with everybody. Shout out to Miss Moto, who made the drop by on night two. So good to see her. Tatiana and Angelina, Miss Laura Singh and Don Victor, and a lot of the old crew from, you know, the beginning of the hashtag days came in and showed some love. So we definitely appreciate everybody. Say what? You were breaking up a little bit.
No, I was saying the old crew was back, and it was just good to see all those jokes come flying back in and everything, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so definitely appreciate everybody. If it was your first time joining us and your first time listening to the podcast, we appreciate the new fandom, and continue to rock with us and share your commentary with color. Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan arrived dressed as pirates. They made some lame jokes. Hogan got booed whenever he spoke. Titus got cheered whenever he spoke. And then they officially welcomed everybody to the show. So we start off with Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. We have to commend Randy Orton for, after like, I don't know, this is probably like his, 20th WrestleMania. He decided to change up the gear from the black to the fire white and red.
I was like, okay, Randy. Oh, this is the first time we see Randy wrestling some white trunks.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The Fiend, he had some like special effects entrance, and he like healed himself. It looked like something that The Weeknd was in during the Super Bowl halftime show. But like, he walked through this, I don't even know what you call it, like a force field. And, you know, all the burns and everything went away. Then Alexa Bliss came down, and they had this big old jack-in-the-box. And she turned the handle, and the Fiend popped out of the top of the jack-in-the-box. So that was pretty cool. Bray goes for the Sister Abigail. And then fire erupted from the turnbuckles like Kane had just arrived. But it was actually Alexa Bliss sitting on top of the jack-in-the-box with the black stuff that Randy Orton was throwing up. This stuff was oozing down her face. It, raise your cups up, distracted Bray, allowing Randy Orton to win with the RKO.
Okay, so this match was produced by Jamie Noble.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Here's the interesting thing. So apparently, this was supposed to be, the Fiend was booked to win this match, but Bruce Prichard and Vincent Mann had something different, and they pulled the swerve, and Randy Orton got the win, and it left a lot of people backstage confused, and I guess pulled it off nicely because it worked to perfection and everybody was left confused about the finish. So.
Oh, yeah. It definitely was you know what? If there is no reason I'm going to tune in to Monday Night Raw, I do have one now because I need to find out what the hell is going on out here.
Right.
I thought they was in cahoots. Turns around that, you know, all of a sudden we get a turn and this big match, and we hadn't seen The Fiend in all these months, and he's finally going to get his revenge against Randy, and you just think that it's going to be paint by numbers and they're going to just, you know, snuff Randy out. And no, contrary to all of that.
Yeah, all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And one more thing. Okay. What was you about to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it's just, it's a swerve, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so one more thing. You might laugh at this. Randy Orton said that he was charged $20,000 to have his family there for WrestleMania.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't know what charge, like, to be in the arena, to be in the stadium, to be backstage.
I don't know what he meant by that, but he said he was charged $20,000 to have his wife and kids, his wife and his five kids, to come down there to see his daddy wrestle and beat the Fiend. So I don't know. But I don't think they said they didn't have anybody backstage because of COVID and everything. But he said he was charged $20,000 to have his family there. So, I mean, I'm sure he got it.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sure he got it. I mean, I'm sure that was just you know, like, what? Y'all got it. Half
hearted. Right. Backstage, Bayley. She interrupted Eric Bischoff with Hulk Hogan and Titus by trying to get them to join her talk show. Bischoff put over the main event from Saturday, Bianca and Sasha, saying he wanted Bianca to be on his podcast, which irritated Bayley. They ignored her and they left the scene.
He kept talking about a boat. He kept talking about a boat, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm gonna go see that boat too." That's what Titus was like. I want to ride the boat. That's where he just put the hat on Bailey's head and just walked away. But Bailey was definitely A1. We wanted Billy Kay in his role, but Bailey shined definitely in his role right here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Glad that they found a way to get her into the show and be a big part of the show, because it would have been a travesty if she would have been sitting at home, unlike somebody else that we know, that we'll talk
about. Oh, but later. We'll definitely talk about that later, because the headline was talking.
So next up is our women's tag team title match, as we had Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending those titles against Natalya and Tamina. Tamina missed the big superfly splash, and Natty got the tag. She's trying for the sharpshooter on Nia, but Shayna was actually legal for their team. She ran up behind Natty and choked her out with the Karafuta clutch. And the champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, retain those women's tag team titles.
So this was done by, this was also Pat Buck and TJ Wilson. They did this one as well too.
I don't understand why we did not have a title change here.
As I said, to me, it's always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
It was.
I mean, at least they did have some some title reigns, brief title reigns, things like that. But they don't let Tamina win anything, and I'm just like, Tamina was definitely had the crowd behind her, and then who was it? I want to say who of Skeletor? I think it was who was it that sent out that tweet saying that she would be a top? She should be, if they listen to the fans, they would say she would be a top player. Let me see if I can find that. Cause I was like, that's so true. Because if they would have let her rock out, she definitely would have. She definitely could do the damn thing. But
yeah, she's you know, a lot of people have for a long time wanted.
Tommy Dreamer said WWE. Every time wrestler will say, listen to your audience. Well, if you listen to WrestleMania, Tamina Snuka is a top babyface for your company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they definitely were behind her 100% during that match. Crowd definitely wanted to see her and Natty get those tag team titles off of Nia and Shayna, but did not happen this time, so we'll see what happens going forward. Backstage, Matt Riddle tries.
Real quick, I just saw what you sent me on Twitter. The Rock and Stone Cold, and I remember watching this live and was thinking, like, yo, this was definitely some shit. They were fighting on the bridge. And they all you see, and all of a sudden you just see the body of Stone Cold just going into the water. I was like, oh,
Rudy Poo Bridge.
Yes. This was great. This was great. this was classic WWE right here. Go ahead. I just want to point that out. I was laughing at that when I just clicked on it.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, excuse me, they had the match before we get to Matt Riddle and Great Khali. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens got the win via the stunner. Logan Paul was with Sami Zayn at ringside. So after the match, Sami got mad at Logan Paul because he was showing mad love to Kevin Owens. He got shoved out of the ring. And then Kevin Owens planted Logan Paul with the stunner.
Yeah, because, you know, Logan Paul grabbed his hand and, you know, thought he was doing something by raising his hand up. So I was like, I think it was a WWE on Fox account who had pointed this out. They said this was before this happened, though. He said the last, because everybody kept saying they wanted Logan Paul to, no, because he said Logan Paul wants to get involved and he'll stun him too or something like that. And so the WWE on Fox account said they should ask the last person who bumped Kevin Owens, and they sort of put the clip of Raw when he powerbombed Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, that was vicious right there, boy.
Yeah. But, he had his hand up and he was like, you know, he touched him. So basically it was like, okay, I got something for you. That match was produced by Adam Pearce.
All right. Now we have the backstage with Riddle trying to sell Great Khali on one of his goofy ideas. When Rob Van Dam came over to translate to Great Khali and said they needed good branding, like his own RVD rolling papers.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Say what now?
It's an action that you wanted.
Oh yeah, man. The only thing that was missing was the instrumental to next episode.
Right. And they was on the bump as well too. You talking about they quit a contact from that. Yeah, they was gonna do something, they was gonna have something those two on together. And I'm glad that they did that as well too.
Yeah, man. It's always a good time to see RVD on the programming, man. I love RVD so much. Just to watch him, you know, have this chance to get this shine in front of the WWE audience for all the work that he put in and you know, ECW and WCW in his early days. So yeah, it's awesome.
You hear the WCW kit?
Yeah, he was Robbie V.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like 92, 93, somewhere in there. It was you know, it wasn't that long. It was kind of the same time that Raven was there as Scotty Flamingo and Scott Hall was there as a Diamond Stud and Kevin Nash was there as Oz. It was all in that same little time frame.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That was a throwback name for that one.
Yeah. Let's see. Now we came to, like, let's be honest. Night two started out with that weird finish. So everybody was already, like, you know, confused and didn't get really what they came to see, which was Bray Wyatt win that match. Wow. Then the second match, everybody is going up for Tamina and Natty. They don't win. So it's like, you know, take it down another level. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they picked it up. When they started cooking, the people really, they got it. You could see the crowd started getting into the event again. Then came this match, Riddle versus Sheamus for the United States Championship. It looked like Riddle was about to power up and get the win, but his attempt at a Kibata saw Sheamus kick him in the face with the bro kick when he was upside down during the moonsault part of that move and take home the United States title. I'm sure Ricochet and Adam Cole was like, we did it better, but it was still a heck of a visual.
This was produced by Chris Park.
Okay.
He did this one as well too, so...
This was a hard-hitting affair, and this is when I think the people finally got into night two, was during this match right here.
Everybody's like, wake up.
yeah, definitely. We get an ad with Triple H and Bad Bunny, and they're plugging Bad Bunny's world tour coming in 2022. You know, it's been a good relationship between WWE and Bad Bunny. He definitely has gotten a lot more of the wrestling fans into him, and he's probably gotten a lot of his fans into wrestling. So I'm pretty sure it was a, equal exchange in this endeavor that they've embarked on the past 4 months.
Right. Yeah, so basically, it was like this was his send off. Mm-hmm. Okay, you did your thing here, so
go ahead and step back on that stage and make that money.
Mm-hmm. And then come back. They were saying this probably the door is open for him to come back.
Oh yeah, sure. Like, hey man, if you ever get tired of doing that music, you can always come back here and do this, 270 days a year.
Like, you sure you don't want to stick around? I like that.
Next, it was time for Big E versus Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental Championship in the Nigerian drum fight. Basically, it's just a street fight. Hardcore match, anything you want to describe it as. Wale gave Big E the live entrance, so that was pretty cool. Say what now?
No, when you did the intro, he said, "You want to go big, then say that then."
Oh, yeah. Apollo came off the top, he was going for like a frog splash, but he went through a table when Big E moved out of the way. Big E had him set up for the big ending when Babatunde, aka Dabakato, showed up dressed as like a Nigerian general, and he attacked Big E, hitting a choke slam that allowed Apollo Crews to make the pin and become your new Intercontinental Champion.
Yep.
He was like, yep.
No, it was basically like, that's what we was definitely we weren't expecting that. Well, it was like we knew something was gonna happen, and we saw it big. And it was like they tried to play it up. They were like, "Who was that?" And I was like, "Anybody watch War Underground?" Because I know I did. Mm-hmm. And I said, "That's Dabakato." And I was like, "Oh, so they finally found something for him, even though he's Polish, he's Polish, but
what'd you think about the match, the setup, the way they had the ring set up, they had the drum set up? Like, some people were like, it's a Nigerian drum fight, why ain't they using the drums? And then other people was like, oh, please don't let them be out there using the drums.
I think it was Queen Mel Mindy was like, here our prayers. So it was like, I was like, people had people around the ringside just beating them damn drums. Please don't. But match was fine, you know.
Could have been longer before.
Those matches, they get cut for length of time and everything.
Yeah, it's like right when they got it cooking a little bit, then it was like, oh, time for the, you know, the finish and the interference and everything. So,
Hold up. That match was produced by Jason Jordan.
Okay, all right. We get the 2021 Hall of Fame inductees. They come out to be honored. So that was Eric Bischoff, RVD, Kane, Molly Holly, and NWO was last year. They had the guy who won the Warrior Award.
The guy, I guess he's a long time, I guess he was a lawyer or employee with WWE. For the old school fans, he's the one who did the presided over the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth ceremony back in the day. Much younger. He was much younger than Dave, but he presided over that ceremony. So that's what that is.
Now it's time for our Raw Women's Title match as Asuka defended the title against Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley also got a live performance, but this thing was awful. That's not good at all. Her song is cool, but not live. No.
Right.
The singer looked like Shotzi Blackheart with his red and black hair.
See, I'm going to do that.
Your thoughts, sir, on the near death of Shotzi Blackheart on night two of NXT?
Oh, I that's what I said. I was like, well, Shotzi just wants to I don't know. It was just like, she came out there, I said, she, that girl just wants to just live dangerously. And I'm living dangerously was like something Paul Heyman did back in the day, but
yes, it was.
I'm like, come on, man, you can't be. I was like, you gotta make sure that your opponents are in position to catch you, and you diving over them. And I know Amber Moon was like, girl, what the? Because she had her head down for a couple of seconds. Like, I know she probably was like, this girl here do not work safe at all. But this Asuka and Rhea Ripley bang of a match. We knew Rhea was going to get her comeuppance this year, because last year she should have won, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, Asuka hit a DDT though off the apron. Oh my god, that looked so dangerous. But Rhea was just too strong at times. She was catching her kicks and stomping Asuka out, and eventually Rhea hit the Riptide and got the win.
I still like how Asuka was booked after she got the title from Becky Lynch. I don't like how she was booked, so...
Oh, yeah. She was doing everything but being the women's champion. She was being a tag team champion. She was, you know... Yeah, they had her going on a lot of different directions. They did not have her booked strong at all going into WrestleMania.
Right, and then she loses the... And like I said, Rhea deserves it. You know, hopefully she has a good, nice little reign with it, but... I still wasn't too thrilled with how this played out for Asuka. Not at all.
Yeah, not at all, man. And definitely need to reevaluate what they're doing with Asuka going forward. I don't know. It may be time for her to maybe take a little break and come back with some new opponents and some new energies.
Produce this match.
Okay, okay. Titus and Hulk Hogan came back out to pump up the crowd, but they got interrupted by Bayley. She wanted the spotlight, and she demanded that they shoot off her pyro, so we get the pyro.
Which we did.
Then the Hall of Fame queens that are the Bella Twins interrupted. Nikki put Bayley down with Bayley started hitting them with she was like, hey, it's Brie. It's Nikki that was dating. She's like, John Cena is not here tonight. And then that's when Nikki hit her with one of those forearms. Then Nikki and Brie threw Bayley down the ramp. And then Bayley rolled down the ramp. And then they posed at the end of the segment.
It was like ding dong goodbye.
Then that led us to our main event of the evening. The big dog, head of the table, tribal chief, Roman Reigns, taking on Daniel Bryan and Edge in a triple threat match for the Universal title. Edge,
we acknowledge him as such.
Say what now?
We're acknowledging him as such.
Oh, yes, always. Edge and Randy Orton had on almost the exact same white gear with the red accents. So that was pretty cool.
He had the white on as well, too.
Yeah, yeah. That white is just a cool look, man. Like Apollo had on like white and green with them white boots. Man, that joint was just clean. Of course, since this is a triple threat match, this is a no disqualification. So Jey Uso was all up in the video. He got involved early since there was a no disqualification. But Edge took Jey out with the execution onto the steel steps. There's a cool spot where Roman and Edge collided shoulders on dual spear attempts. They went to spear each other and collided shoulders. That was really cool. Edge introduced a chair and it broke. And then so Edge used that little piece of metal for extra leverage on a crossface on Roman. Daniel Bryan saved Roman from tapping out and then put Roman's other arm into the guest lock at the same time, only for him and Edge to start headbutting each other because, you know, they...
They had Roman in hell just for a tad bit there.
Edge had it won with the spear, but Daniel Bryan pulled out the referee, causing Edge to snap and beat both Roman and Daniel Bryan down with chairs. Daniel Bryan called a concerto. Oh, my goodness. Jey Uso came back. He got involved, but Edge got rid of him, only for Roman to spear Edge. Roman then gives Edge the concerto, and then Roman stacked Edge on top of Daniel Bryan, pinned them both to retain the Universal title. Then he held the title up over his head so they could see a man greater than themselves, and then we heard $1 million worth of pyro go off, just like he predicted on Friday. This was a good match.
And this match was produced by Michael Hayes.
P.S. He put it. Oh, go ahead, P.S. Because this was the best triple threat since Cena, Brock, and Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. I think that was 2017.
Think so.
Yeah. Yeah. This was good, man. I know a lot of people didn't want Daniel Bryan in the match, but he added just that extra little bit to it that put this thing over the top. This match, everything from Sheamus and Matt Riddle to the end was very good.
Yes.
But the beginning of 92 was slaw. It's not good at all. I really enjoyed the hell out of that main event, man. I even with Jey Uso being in there and being in the mix and you know the triple threat aspect of it not being, you know, your traditional one-on-one championship match, I thought that they delivered. I mean, it wasn't as good as Sasha and Binky, but you know, it definitely was the best thing on night two.
It was. Yeah, it was just that the whole the story that was being told, the ring psychology. I knew when somebody gets taken out early in the match, they could be right back in the mix. They also came back. I was like, hey, he was going back. Wasn't no secret. He was going back. So he came back, you know, got his ass kicked again, but he definitely. Oh yeah, I don't know how you peeked out. He had the right hand man shirt on. On SmackDown, he had the right hand man shirt on.
Might have to go cop me one of those.
Yeah, so I said it was a great match.
Did you hear that Roman promo right afterwards on that like post show thing? Where they interview Paul Heyman has the headset and they're like, and so they're talking to him and they ask the question. And Paul's like, the question that they ask is absurd, so just go out here and say whatever you like. Roman's like, I forgot exactly what he said, but it was basically like the same thing I said, where it's like, yeah, he's like, I did exactly what I told you I was going to do. I told you I was going to beat them both. And he was like, that's exactly what I did. And he was like, I held this belt over my head. And then you saw that $1 million worth of pyro.
That's true.
Cody Rhodes is so hot. He can't believe that Roman has $1 million worth of pyro with his belt. Tony Khan got to get more pyro.
More pyro. Add more pyro to the budget.
Yeah, add more pyro. Add more pyro. But all in all, your thoughts, sir, on WrestleMania weekend, all combined. Oh, congratulations to you and Shaolin Shogun as y'all tied on night two. Shaolin Shogun and Jay to the Max tied on night one.
No, he tied on night one, and him and Jay tied on night two.
Yeah, thank you. And then let me give myself the Barry Horowitz pat on the back, as I got none of them right on night two. A big over.
You were talking trash on after Fastlane. You talking trash on Fastlane, and then you went. You was like, I don't know, no booking.
I was totally like, I only got two right on night one, Bad Bunny and the main event. Everything else was awful too. So that's what, like 14 matches? I only got two of them right.
So DraftKings had the free WWE pool where you get a quarter a chance to like win of 25,000.
Right.
And on night one, I got all eight of my picks right and netted $4.16. So I was like, I'm going premium everything. But night two, I only got 6 of 8. I got the main event wrong, and I got that Edge did more spears than Roman.
Oh, they had prop bets and everything?
Yeah, it was basically they kept advertising throughout the show. It was like at certain it was the night one was the Braun, I think it was Braun and Shane match, like who was gonna win. That's why I'm glad that, and we're looking back on it, I'm glad Braun didn't drop down, because I had Braun win by pinfall, and he won by pinfall. I said, oh, I got that right. So he won by pinfall. It was interference because Elias and Jackson Riker came out there, and I think it was the main event was who's going to win between Sasha and Bianca, and the number of pinfall attempts, I think it was over 5.5. So, yeah.
All right. So that was WrestleMania weekend.
WrestleMania is definitely definitely a great spectacle. A lot of people was popping for the young lady who's playing night two, America the Beautiful, especially the guitarist. Who's in the ring? A lot of people popping for her. They wouldn't know who she was. But another takeover note, I definitely want to see Nina Strauss and Poppy have some kind of battle down the road in NXT. I want it. Triple H, book it. Some kind of gimmick or something. I don't care. I want to see it.
That's like my dream match. I want it between Charlie and Zelina Vega, huh?
Right. WrestleMania is always just, it's just that time where we just sit there and watch, the fans were back. It was great to see, everybody back, it was too close though. people had their masks down.
Oh yeah, so, that crowd. Yeah, man. It's gonna be some people. It's gonna be some people sick at the end of this week, right here, man.
It was a sellout crowd, but you know, definitely. I think they kind of scaled some things back a bit, you know, like interest is, you know, because like you see they had the little place cards, the place cards in the stands as well too, for like the cutout people or whatever. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently it was like 25,000 both nights. That was the capacity. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, those. Just not enough distance, not enough masks, not enough people vaccinated in the crowd for show.
Yeah, I know people probably was lying on the vaccination form saying they got vaccinated, knowing they didn't.
And then it's not like WWE had any type of guidelines or procedures in place. It was like, you got a ticket, come on in. We ain't checking no temperatures. We ain't doing no hair sign this so we can see who's all here and contact trace and figure out a section and nothing. Right. Nothing.
And he had the Stone Cold commercial for that was next year.
Right.
They didn't announce a date.
Oh yeah.
So it might be considering two nights again. I mean, because like Ms. V was saying, it's like Ms. V said, two nights is definitely a better way to make this work, because you know you're not. Can you hear all one night? It's gonna be like so long. You can sit there like, this ain't over yet. You know, somebody's gonna get cut. Everybody get like, two nights. You get equal time. You know, you're working some things out. It's good. I really enjoyed the two nights of WrestleMania.
So that
Ice Cube Summer bump. Yeah. Ice Cube Summer bump with the WrestleMania 2023 shirt.
If you saw that, then you should have saw the Roman preview, because if you would have stuck around like another 2 minutes, it was right after that.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it was right after that.
I will find it. But he had the WrestleMania 2023 shirt for Hollywood. So
Hollywood. Is that when they have the head of the table match between Rock and Roman?
That'd be the place to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They already said that he wants to. They would say that the Rock had called Heyman talking about getting a match. So you never know. Long term booking.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That leads us to the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. So the show starts. We see Matt Riddle on his little scooter coming up to challenge Bobby Lashley. He quotes some Lashley words before getting slammed into the handlebars of a scooter and then Lashley accepting his challenge. Raw, they have a new set, a new Thunderdome, and a new commentary team as well, with Corey Graves, Byron Saxton, and Adnan Burke being the new lead voice of Monday Night Raw. So is Corey Graves going to do double duty again? Were he going to be on Raw and SmackDown now?
Nope. Corey Graves is going to be on Raw going forward. Byron Saxton staying, and the new guy who was there from ESPN. So apparently here's another thing. So Tom Phillips was supposed to call an action over the weekend, but he got pulled for COVID restriction, COVID concerns or whatnot. That's all we got. We hear all that Michael Cole.
Had a whole bunch of Michael Cole. So we get Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley. Riddle scoots down the ramp, but Lashley stops him as he circles the ring and knocks Riddle on his butt off the scooter. Riddle then in the match hops up on the top rope, flies with the floating bro, but Lashley rolls out of the way. Lashley applies the Hurt Lock, and we get a tap out from Matt Riddle as Bobby Lashley shows his dominance against Matt Riddle.
Okay. Another tidbit for you. So, Matt Riddle wasn't really supposed to be the U.S. title holder.
He's supposed to be? He what now, Sandy?
He wasn't originally in the plans for him to be the U.S. champion. And Keith Lee. Keith Lee had that injury or whatever was going on, the medical condition was going on, that got him pulled. So that's, and the reason why is because they wanted to get the U.S. title off of Lashley, because Lashley was going to be winning the Universal Championship. No, women, the WWE Championship.
Right. So do we know what the hell is up with Keith Lee? Is it an injury, or is it just, hey, guy?
It might be a medical condition, because he's been tweeting that, you know, he's going to explain it when he can and everything. He's working to get back, to get cleared and everything. So he's being very vague about it, and nobody's really saying anything about it. So I'm in, like, kind of look to see if anybody's dropping any, like, reason as to why. But
I know one thing. If he come back and he weighed 240 pounds, everybody gonna be like, what the hell happened to you, son?
Right. So the thing was, they needed to get the title off of Lashley, so they wasn't gonna let Morrison win, because Morrison was involved with the Bad Bunny Miz story.
Right.
So they put on Riddle, and so that's why Sheamus won the U.S. title at WrestleMania. So they finally get off of Riddle. But it was supposed to be Keith Lee been the U.S. champion at this Fastlane.
Man, that's unfortunate, because that would
Elimination Chamber.
That would have been a good match with Keith Lee being the United States champion and having that type of run and having that type of chance to spotlight in WrestleMania. Because, man, that's what's been missing. They need one of these dudes to be a baby face to come through, and they are certainly looking to need new stars too. Because, you know, they keep running the same people out here for these title matches and stuff, and it's like, man, we got a lot of talent, but they haven't done a good job of elevating anybody.
Right.
They haven't done a good job of elevating anybody. We get a recap of Asuka versus Rhea from WrestleMania. Rhea cuts a backstage promo on whether she is prepared to defend her title tonight. Rhea says it's all about confidence. What we witnessed at WrestleMania was the brutal new order of the women's division. As for tonight, she will prove that she is ready for Asuka. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for tag team action, where Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are going to face off against the Viking Raiders. What?
Yeah.
So, it was Ivar who had the injury, right? So he's back.
Eric was in the Battle Royal.
But
also Eric, he took time off because he's married to Sarah Rowe, who used to be in the Riot Squad.
And they had a baby.
Yeah, so he took time off. And he was with her. So, you know, while one was off of TV for recovering from injury, one was recovering, was helping raise their newborn. So,
work.
Yeah.
Work down. The Viking Raiders won with the Viking experience to Cedric Alexander. So, yeah.
See, it wasn't No ring rust on that end.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, guys, next stop for Cedric and Shelton, main event.
I hope not.
Oh, I think so.
I hope not.
We get a backstage promo with Asuka this time, asking how she will approach tonight differently. Asuka says tonight it's her turn. Losing to Rhea was a nightmare, but tonight she will once again be champion. We return from the commercial break, and we hear Charlotte Flair's music. Charlotte says she isn't happy because she wasn't welcome at WrestleMania. She says she is a franchise player, a genuine superstar, and what she does in this ring is sacred. Imperium just filed a gimmick infringement complaint. She says that she challenged Asuka on Raw for the title. Asuka didn't respond. She responded to Rhea, though. Rhea beat Asuka, and a star was born. She talked about how, you know, Ric Flair came out there acting a fool on Legends Night, how Lacey Evans got pregnant, how Asuka needed a tag team partner, and all these things are out of her control, but they all led up to her not being on WrestleMania. Charlotte then starts going full Ric Flair, and she just starts listing off all of the women that were on WrestleMania over the two nights and says none of them compare to her. That's like back in the day, Ric Flair cut that promo. Magnum T.A., Ronnie Garvin, Hawk, Animal, Lex Luger, Sting, I'm better than them all.
Yeah, you see where she got it from. Yeah, but I was listening to those names. Listen, she didn't say Billy Kay, she didn't say Peyton, and she didn't say Nikki Cross. I was like, eesh. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, ooh, but boy. Those women weren't on WrestleMania though.
Billy Kay was.
Oh, yeah, Billy Kay was, but yeah, she skipped over Billy. Shout out to Billy Kay and her Damian Sandow gear, too.
Yes.
Charlotte says that she doesn't steal opportunities from your faves. She is the opportunity. And to all of us, the delusional ones who think she steals opportunities, no, that is not true. She says she creates them. She will no longer apologize for being that good. Dolph Ziggler just filed his complaint for gimmick infringement. She will bow down. She says we will bow down to our 13-time women's champion. No more humble Charlotte. She wants us to show her some respect for what she has brought to this industry. She tells us to enjoy the title match that she should have been in. And that's when Shaolin Shogun jumped up and was just clapping bravo at his TV screen.
Listen, he probably was like, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. He might was in that big towel. Come on, you see what she said. I mean, she came with it all on that one.
The one thing that it actually had some real emotion in it. Usually Charlotte just comes out there and she just recites her shit and you don't really feel no one way or the other about it. But this time it actually felt like, you know, she had some hurt and some real emotion in it. And I like it. I liked it a lot. That's a good promo by Charlotte.
When I saw, I was like, yo, this is a great promo. Like, I was like, this is a great promo. I was not disappointed at all. You know, I was like, she came with it and she let her feelings really be known. Especially she ran off the list of name of the women, you know, and she said she was better than that. I was like, ooh. I said she is getting in her bag tonight.
Should have been like, I got the stroke around here. You see what I did for my man?
He was at WrestleMania 2, apparently. He took a picture with Buddy Murphy and he posted on Twitter. And he was saying, you know, he was saying good to see this guy again. That's what Buddy Murphy was saying. So
okay. Well, Asuka versus Rhea Ripley, Raw Women's Title match. this is a prime candidate for Botchamania. I don't know what the hell was going on between these two.
Hold on. Speaking of Botchamania, Matthew Gray got some material from WrestleMania over the weekend. He got some prime material from old girl.
Mandy.
Mandy slipping to botch calls on by the ring announcers. Botch calls by Michael Cole. Also, Lana missing the kick and I forgot the whoever they sold it. I think it was Carmella. And then Carmella. She said it was like somebody was like, she missed all that kick. I was like, she sure did. There's a lot of Botchamania. It's gonna be a lot of Botchamania. If it's a WrestleMania edition, it's gonna be a lot covered.
Asuka lifts up Rhea Ripley and hits a modified DDT on the apron. So they're both on the floor. They both stand up. They both lock up. And then here comes Charlotte Flair. She comes down and shoves both women into the steps. So, of course, that's the disqualification. Then Charlotte hits the big boot to Rhea. She grabs Asuka and hits a suplex to her. Charlotte then kicks Asuka into the ring apron and does the same thing to Rhea before leaving the ringside area and leaving both of our competitors down and out.
She said, I delivered a fire promo and I'm about to deliver the fire beat down too. So, get the best of both of them.
Backstage, Nia and Shayna are watching and are rewatching Mandy Rose falling on her ass over and over. Mandy comes into the frame wondering if they are done. Nia sends Shayna away for some reason. Mandy says, yes, it was embarrassing,
right,
but really funny. She can laugh at herself. She says it's funny when things happen like that when you don't see them coming. And then she slapped fire out of Nia. That's when Dana comes out of nowhere and her and Mandy shove Nia down and they like push her into a trash can and knock her down.
But I mean, if Mandy really wanted to poke fun, she could have said my hole, said about my hole. And then, you know. Oh, it's another thing. Here's another thing. It was pointed out in the live tweet, but nobody said anything about this until now. No Reggie.
Yeah.
No Flippy Skip.
yeah, there was no Reggie. I don't know what happened. Did he get fired? Did he catch it? Him and Tom Phillips been hanging out together, chasing hoes?
I don't know. He wasn't on WrestleMania on the weekend. He wasn't on Raw either, so it was like, what's going on?
yeah, we might need to do some investigative reporting, Mo Meltzer.
I'll find out, but I was just kind of finding all day he was not seen over the weekend, so who knows?
We head to Alexa's playground. She says WrestleMania was fun, and she bets we're wondering why she did what she did. She said once there was a girl who was lost until one day she was rescued by the darkness. Darkness is. Darkness protected her and nurtured her and taught her everything. Then the darkness went away. She wonders, is that when the little girl realized that she may have never needed the darkness after all? Was darkness helping her, or did she decide it was just in her way? Why else would she use what she was taught to try and destroy said darkness? Is it true what they say? The female of the species is the deadliest. Then she wants us to meet her new friend, Lily. We pan over to a swing with a puppet on it. She says their fun is just getting started. I dug it. Good explanation.
Right, that's what they was talking about. They was talking about that the turn that she did and everything, but it kind of just leads to something else that happened later on. We'll get to. because it kind of woke me up when I heard the rebuttal to this promo.
Miz TV with Maryse as a special guest. Maryse looking as only she can look. Miz takes credit for the performance Bad Bunny had in their match at WrestleMania. Damian Priest comes out to interrupt him. Priest says Bad Bunny shocked the world because he put in the work. He trained day and night to live his dream, and if memory serves him right, Miz said Bad Bunny didn't belong, and now he's trying to save face. Let's remember the headline, Bad Bunny beats The Miz. Miz says he'll face him one-on-one later tonight. Morrison says that he was about to do the same thing. Miz says no, they bicker back and forth. Maryse says that they both can fight Damian Priest. Damian Priest says he sees what's going on, calls them idiots, and says he's down for the handicap match.
So the reason why Maryse was going, because the new season of Miz and Mrs. Aired right after Raw, so she's on there to help get the promotion up and everything. That was good. She's still on her heelish ways, which I love. She was one of my favorite heels when she was active in WWE.
So we have The Miz and John Morrison versus Damian Priest in a handicap match. Maryse is there to pull The Miz out of the ring while Priest went for the reckoning, and he escapes the clutches of Damian Priest. But Damian Priest manages to grab a hold of The Miz's pants and rips them off. Maryse hops on the apron, and that allows Miz to roll Damian Priest up using the ropes to get the 1-2-3.
Yep, she's instrumental. Distraction.
That's right. Backstage, Nia says that Mandy and Dana did this to try to deflect from the blunder that Mandy had at WrestleMania. Mission accomplished. After the beating they give Mandy and Dana, though, no one will be talking about either of them. So, the Sexy Muscle Friends, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, they face off against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Nia climbs up on the apron. She slips off the apron, falling on her hole. Nia is pissed. She crawls into the ring, and she is big mad. So, Dana Brooke and Mandy are like, oh, we just gonna walk out of the ring, walk back up the ramp. Dana tells Mandy it's not worth it. The ref gets to about 8, and he's just like, oh, they not coming back, and just rings the bell, and the match is over. Ooh. Don't ask me what the hell that was, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
Even I said normally it's the heels that leave, but normally sometimes the heels will leave and they'll take the loss or whatever. But faces leaving, okay.
Yeah, this was weird. This made absolutely zero sense. None whatsoever. We return after commercial break to MVP. He's in the ring wondering who can beat Bobby Lashley. He gets in a couple of jabs at Drew. Then Drew comes out. He talks a little bit of trash. Then Braun comes out. Then Randy comes out. Adam Pearce then comes out and says he can see where this is going. He says there will be a triple threat match tonight, and the winner will face Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania Backlash.
Hold on real quick, all right?
Yep.
All right. All right, where did we left off?
Triple threat. Adam Pearce coming out there making that match for the triple threat. Then after the break, Drew is walking backstage. In comes Braun. He brings up his win versus Shane McMahon. Drew says they had a great match, but this is a triple threat. Drew explains the problems with triple threats, while Braun says he knows how it works. He's not stupid. He knows how badly Drew wants a rematch, but he is in Braun's way. This means there is a monster-sized ass-whooping coming Drew's way.
Yep.
Elias is in the ring by himself with no one else. He wants to dedicate this song to Shane for his unmatched bravery. He strums the guitar, but Francesca is heard. New Day interrupts. Elias brings up New Day losing their titles as he wonders how high Kofi was before his ass got slammed down. New Day's like, what we have is a failure to communicate. So they drop a couple of references. Adventure Time reference. They start barking like DMX. So they give a shout out to him. So, you know, New Day weaving in the things that they do with their promos.
Yeah, when Kofi saw the door, we think it's a gang. I was like, yeah, we know who that's for.
Next up, we had Elias and Ryker going against the New Day.
I've been very impressed by the duo of Elias and Jackson Ryker thus far.
I'll agree with you, Corey. I think Jackson Ryker and Elias have done a tremendous job, and I think they've channeled some of the frustration they experienced at the hands of Braun Strowman.
Ryker now trying to end this match, but again, impressive work here by Xavier Woods. Able to stay alive, taking this kind of punishment over and over from Ryker and Elias. Cover. Another cover and a kick out.
I love it, how nasty everything that Riker's doing is. Notice how when he executed the cover, he drove his forearm right across the face of Woods. Just painful, a little bit of insult to injury.
Woods had the wherewithal to knock Elias off the apron.
Baby!
He's got the top rope. Elias gives the punishment and the cover. No, he's able to survive the kick out from 2.5.
Yeah, this could be the beginning of the end here for Xavier Woods. Ooh, sliding knee to the back of Woods' neck, cover.
Almost over, and instead, somehow Wood stays alive.
Listen, I gotta admit, this is the best version of Jackson Ryker and Elias that I've ever seen. They are coming very close to knock it off. The
beautiful
the top tag team.
I love it. Cover.
Amazing teamwork here, and again, somehow Wood stays alive.
Maybe you wonder if this has something to do with their association with Shane McMahon over the last few weeks.
Finally, Kofi Kingston is now in off the top rope.
Air Kofi takes out Elias, takes out Ryker.
Kofi Kingston giving a spark, the drop kick there as well.
This was the opportunity Kingston was waiting for,
but Elias catches him now.
Oh, not quite. Roll through.
Stop to the guts of Elias.
And the cover now from Kofi Kingston. And this time, it's Ryker and Elias able to stay alive as Elias kicks out.
Kofi not letting up. Constant motion.
Boom.
Kofi wants to close it out. Moves Ryker into the fray once again. There goes Ryker.
Kofi's got to keep his attention now. Oh, wait, watch Xavier Woods.
Now that's the teamwork of New Day. Xavier Woods takes care of one end, and instead Kofi Kingston's just going to do battle right now with Elias.
That's not where Kofi wants to be, fighting desperately.
Tag made. Elias has no idea Xavier Woods is the legal superstar. Elias in trouble.
Woods off the top rope.
Double stomp to the heart of Elias.
And the cover here on Elias. It's over. What a job by New Day to survive.
Here are your winners. The New Day.
I gotta say it again. I think Jackson Ryker and Elias had one of the most impressive performances as a team I've ever seen. But tonight, experience matters. And that's why the New Day are your victors.
There it is.
New Day, you know, lost the titles, but, you know, still over like Rover.
And you know, Elias is trying to face the way we did from us. Y'all lost the title almost to King. Y'all. I was like, oh, you got a point there.
Backstage, Randy Orton says that he's been distracted for the past 6 months. He says that ended at WrestleMania, and now he can focus on becoming the WWE champion again. Now we get to the part of the show that you want to talk about the most, I think. We return to the Firefly Funhouse. Everyone is accounted for as Rambling Rabbit gives us the return of Bray Wyatt. He enters and waves to us all, saying hello. It's so good to be back with all of his true friends. Rabbit says it's going to be lonely in here without Alexa. Bray Wyatt grabs him, kisses him, and then tosses him across the room. Bray says no matter what has happened lately, they have each other. They will always have each other. He says he feels great. He says this can be a brand new him. He feels reborn. Then he starts healing Huskus, he heals Mercy, and everything will be fine because he shall return. No more clout chasing in this here simulation. The Funhouse will be big, bad, and strong.
So you just glossed all over all the good stuff.
The witches be wildin'? It wasn't in my review, sir. Sorry.
What?
Full disclosure, you know, I use a site, so I'm going by what they got.
Oh my goodness. No, that was just hilarious because Abigail was like, she was like, I'm glad that something is gone. And you know, she was saying, Abigail was saying some stuff, and he was like, Abigail, you know, you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And that's when she was like, fuck. Abigail be off the chain. She do not, Sister Abigail do not care at all. She was like, where that bitch is gone. Like, ooh, okay. And then when he was on the healing, he was great touch, and he was like, ah, he hesitated. He hesitated on Abigail and said, nah, it's okay. but that's just good to see Bray back. But I was like, I said, let me find out JoJo giving him a slang.
Man, Bray Wyatt out here done trimmed down since the last time we saw him. He's looking rather skinny in that Fiend outfit on Sunday.
I said, let me find out JoJo giving him, telling him how to do slang and everything, talking about no clout chasing. I was like, clout chasing? Who wrote that promo, sir?
I think Bray Wyatt grew up around a fair amount of black peoples. I don't think that he would be that far out of the loop.
No, I'm just, yeah, I mean, look who his father is, you know, so.
So now it's time for that triple threat main event. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Braun Strowman, winner is the number one contender for Bobby Lashley's WWE Raw title. Orton stalking Braun Strowman, and he hits the RKO on Braun. We had a cover for a two count, but it gets broken up by Claymore from Drew McIntyre to Randy Orton. Braun rolls out of the ring, which allows Drew to cover Randy Orton and get the 1-2-3. Drew McIntyre has secured himself a rematch against Bobby Lashley coming up at WrestleMania Backlash. After the match, Drew is celebrating when the music of MVP hits. He comes out, and then T-Bar and Mace grab Drew from behind. They hit a double choke slam to Drew. MVP is standing at the top of the ramp, staring at the scene, and that is how we ended Monday Night Raw.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
They upgraded the muscle.
It's an upgrade.
In size.
Yeah,
it's definitely an upgrade.
It's an upgrade. Oh, really, sir? Wow. That was an interesting way, because that's when Drew got on Twitter and said, he said, T-Bag and Mace made a big attack at him. He said after he gets the title back from Bobby Lashley, he's coming after those two students. I'm like, I mean, you got like 5 weeks until that match happens. You can get the verse. He'll get the features after he get the title back. I'm like, sir, get them back before you get the title. You got a whole month before that pay-per-view pops up.
Right. This is going to require some explanation from MVP and Bobby Lashley.
So we have to watch next week.
Yeah, to see, like, they better not call themselves the Hurt Business. They better have a new name.
Oh, speaking of which, Bobby, let me see if I can find it real quick. But, because Bobby Lashley said that, the Hurt Business breaking up hurt his heart.
It hurt all our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, he said Bobby Lashley says hurt business splitting up hurt his heart. He said, what did he say? He said, you know, it hurt my heart. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but it hurt my heart because it was something special, something very special. In the wrestling business, it's very seldom that a special thing comes together and we can see the energy and the people really behind it. And they were. But ultimately, business is business sometimes. And the hurt business was started by MVP and myself. Then we brought some people out that really deserve a chest. They took it and ran with it. But business is not over.
So I guess they are going to be going by the hurt business, I guess. That's they need to change the name.
Right. Because.
But then MVP can't wear that cool chain, though. If they changed the name. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This Raw was average as fuck because there's no what? Crowd.
Right. Probably because it's still no crowd. And it was just basically like, you know, Raw after WrestleMania crowd was definitely.
But Raw doesn't have any superstars, though. That's their problem. They don't have a Roman. They don't have an Edge. They don't have Daniel Bryan. They don't have a singular person that you tune in for and be like, oh, shit, it's time to watch Raw because I want to hear what such and such is going to say today, or I want to see what such and such is going to do tonight. And they are suffering big time from that.
They are.
Big time. I mean, big time. They might want to consider, like, maybe trying to pump, like, even though they just gave him the tag team titles, I would have considered maybe pumping AJ up a little bit more again. That, you know, just find somebody that people care about as a singular star to give them a reason to tune in to watch Raw. Because right now, man, they just got a bunch of hodgepodge of people who are about the same, but nobody's really exceptional.
Right.
And, you know, not to mention the booking on that show is suspect at best. So, you know. But that concludes the long WrestleMania weekend. WrestleMania week really started on, if you're like me, on New Japan, started on Easter Sunday and just rolled right on through. To the Raw after WrestleMania. So thank you, like I said, to everybody who used the hashtag NXTcast for two nights, ManiaCast for two nights, SmackDown Matters on Friday, RawCast on Monday. We definitely appreciate each and every person rocking with the WrestleCast, sharing their commentary with color, listening to the shows, retweeting, tweeting. We definitely enjoy the community so much, especially on these big events. It's like I said at the beginning of the show, just a lot of fun interacting with everyone. And we can't wait to do it again this Friday night for SmackDown Matters. All right, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to you, Don. Once again, thank you for creating this space for all of world. Being one of the ones, one of the OGs that created this space for us to come talk wrestling. You know, even though sometimes the shows be kind of dragging, it's still great to have individuals we can just laugh and joke around with. And like I said, being a live tweets definitely makes the shows a lot better to deal with, a lot better to watch going forward. So, you know, thanks to you, for just being a part of this space. Shout out to Semi, glad you're feeling better. Shout out to Jade. Shout out to Terry's boy, Anwar. Everybody else on the CSPN. Shout out to Sam, Greg, Classic, Dee Dee, even though she's taking shots. And, you know, I'm gonna let that slide because I love hearing her talk about wrestling and everything. So I'm gonna let them joke slide. Classic, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to everybody who was in the hashtags with us over this whole week. It's been a week. So everybody who was in the hashtags, Cammy D, Roll Up Sunny, and his lady, I forgot her name, but me and her have been cool for years, and she watches wrestling too. Dwayne, Sean, many nice, Dolph Victor, glad to see him back. He had me laughing the whole weekend. Laura Singh, Miss V, Madame Lizette, Jupiter Julep. There were some new faces up there. Andy C, she was there with us. So shout out to everybody who was there. Word, as always, you know, he come through with the clarification, a lot of things. Just shout out to everybody who enjoys wrestling and, you know, and had a great time this weekend. You know, even though some of the stuff we kind of scratched our heads on, but it is what it is. And that's it for me.
Well, I'd like to thank Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for joining me here once again on this edition of the WrestleCast. Definitely have appreciated chopping it up with him over this year, talking about these events, Monday Night Raw. I'd like to give a big shout out to Miss Jade to the Max, Miss Didi Jonay, for helping me break down SmackDown and Night One of WrestleMania. So please check out SmackDown Matters, the podcast, to hear our thoughts on Night One and the historic main event. Also give a big shout out to Miss Simi, same as Mo, glad to hear that she's feeling better. You can hear us recap NXT TakeOver Night 1 and 2 as well. Just like I said, big shout out to everybody who joins us every week, all the Wrestle Bays, all the members of the Glow, Sam and Greg and Classic and Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs, and Miss Moto, glad to see you, give you another shout out. Just, you know, so thankful that everybody, you know, feels the, you know, like they can come to the WrestleCast and inside the live tweets and have fun and interact with each other and get off their commentary and get off their jokes and be insightful and just spread the love of wrestling between all of us. It's just such a good time and a feel good time. So I'm so thankful for everybody who joins us each and every time we do have a live tweet during the week or a pay-per-view, whether it's a big event or a small event. We may not have the biggest crowd when it comes to listeners and all of that, but, you know, we make the most noise. So I'm very proud of that. Check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can hear more content. You can hear me and Miss Simi break down AEW Dynamite. Check out the free episode that is out on the Patreon page. The latest episode is a free episode, so everybody can hear it. Just follow our Twitter account or go to our Twitter page and look for the Dark Match WrestleMania Weekend Edition. You Never Saw It Coming is the name of the title. It's, like I said, it's free for everybody to listen to, so please check that out. You'll hear candid conversations between myself, Terry Saboy, Anwar Star, and Mo to the underscore Reese, Miss J to the Max, and Didi Jonay. Also, go to CSPN.us to help also support the podcast. Click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Do some shopping with any of our sponsors to help keep these episodes free each and every week. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 297 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
So here I am on the Raw after WrestleMania, and typically I'd be standing here with my big ol' Flair smile, but I wasn't on WrestleMania. I wasn't welcomed at WrestleMania. You know, the biggest stage that all the talent dream of being on. I wasn't there. I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, Charlotte, it's just one WrestleMania. Oh, Charlotte, you've been on 5 WrestleManias. No. I am a franchise player. I am a genuine superstar. And what I do in this ring is sacred to my family. And here's the thing, it wasn't my fault that I wasn't on WrestleMania. I wasn't on WrestleMania for things that I could not control. It's unacceptable. You think it was my fault that Asuka needed a tag team partner? No. You think it was my fault that my dad showed up on Legends Night on Monday Night Raw acting like a fool? No. You think it was my fault that Lacey Evans decided to get pregnant and I didn't get to kick her ass in this ring? No, none of these things are my fault. It's not like I didn't try. Hell, I even challenged Asuka right here on Monday Night Raw for the Raw Women's Championship. Asuka didn't respond. Ah, you know what they say? Karma is a and I'm that Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, Natty, Tamina, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Mandy Rose, Dana, Naomi, Lana, Alexa Bliss. No one compares to me. First time after signing my WWE contract, I don't know what, 7 years ago, after getting to sit at home and watch WrestleMania. No. I don't steal opportunities. I am the opportunity. I'm not apologizing for being that damn good, because all of you are going to bow down to your 13-time women's champion. Yes, yeah. No more little humble Charlotte. Nope, I'm that good. So I want all of you to show some respect. No, show some respect to what I have brought to this industry. Hell, I've dedicated years of my life to this business. Years. Tears, blood, and sweat. And what have any of you given me in return? Exactly. So enjoy your title match that I should have been in.
That is one serious mic drop there from Charlotte Flair. She says, I don't steal the opportunities, I am the opportunity.